41:10. It says, "Do not fear, because I'm with you. Don't anxiously look about you." The thought is, I'm going to go over there because I feel need. I'm going to go over there because I feel need. I'm going to pursue this because I feel need. Because I am your God. And if I am your God, I'll take care of everything. That's what it means. We are ungodly because we refuse to acknowledge him and to give thanks. And then we come to the staircase downward, to chaotic disorder and rampant wickedness. This is in the rest of the chapter, 22-32. Ready for depression? Here we go. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image, in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed for everything man. For this reason God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire for one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, their gossip, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval. So this is the staircase downward to rampant wickedness. Step one, God gave them over. Somehow he stepped out of the way in some way, probably something to do with the conscience. He allowed our consciences to be seared somehow and he just removed himself a little bit. He lessened the restrictions in some way. I think he was thinking this way: if they wouldn't learn from him, maybe they would learn. You know, the Old Testament, I'll just move on. Sorry. Step two, we're going down. Man lowers himself to lust of impurity. John lists three basic categories of lust. First, the lust of the flesh, which is the desire to enjoy something, just the desire for pleasure. God is the God of pleasure, but he is God of pleasure, not we. Secondly, the lust of the eyes, which is the desire to And thirdly, the boastful pride of life, the desire to be something. The consequence of this is a dishonoring to the body, a devaluing of the sacredness of the body. In 1953, the first Playboy magazine was published. In the 1960s, the sexual revolution movements were congruent, and that was worldwide, not just in America. In 1973, in this country, abortion was deemed legal. We were worshiping the creature. We worshiped the female body. It became a thing. Step three, God gave them over degrading passions this time, allowing them even greater freedom from righteous boundaries. Especially this passage, I'm not making this up, this passage is primarily concerned with sexuality. other things, certainly, but a central theme, obviously, sexuality. So especially regarding sexuality, identity, and relationship. Step four, then, is the human's response to that, and we humans adopted looser relational ties. Women exchanged bearing children for lesbianism. Men followed suit, pursuing other men. In 1978, a study revealed that 78% of self-identified homosexual white males say they had sex with over 100 different partners. That's kind of the low end. There were many, 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 500 and 1,000. See, the issue isn't someone different to love. The issue is freedom from all control. And then, even in heterosexual marriages during this 14% divorce rate in the 50s skyrocketed to 40%. We know that it's about 50 now. But it seemed to come at a time when all 50 states wrote laws that were called no-fault divorce. No fault. Before that time, there'd be investigation. Was one partner untrue? And there would not be a 50-50 dissolution. Now you can just get a kit and take care of it. Oh, it's just five. Says it better be enough. Okay. Step five is men no longer acknowledge or found a need to acknowledge God. And God further abandoned them to do evil. The human response, step six. Depraved mind to do those things. Did you pick that up? Filled with all sorts of wickedness? Filled? That's a long list, and they're full of them. That is a horrible place to be. So we could conclude, answering our first question, that secular man is lost. His deeds prove it. John Lennon's song, Imagine. Imagining a world where there's no heaven and no hell leads to hell on earth. So it ain't pretty, but that's the truth. And good news always starts with truth. The good news of conviction of our unrighteous nature makes the good news of grace all the more welcome. I said that the heart of this message is this, that the gospel message is one of conviction, responsibility, hope for the ungodly and the saved alike. If we can learn the truth of the gospel and respond to it appropriately, we'll experience its freeing glory. So as we get here to the end, it's appropriate to ask ourselves this question, where am I on this staircase as a believer? Many of us in this room, I would trust, have seen our sin and have repented. But the question is, are you still caught in some addiction? Are you caught in alcoholism? Is that where you turn when the road gets rough? Are you caught in pornography? Jesus said he'll commit sin as a slave. Caught in gaming. Do you turn to a game every time life gets hard? You just find a new game and drown yourself in a game. Saying the game is useless. I didn't say that. I said that you give yourself to it. How about swearing? How about the tongue? Are you still addicted to previous matters of the tongue, swearing, or of gossip, or of slander, or of boasting? Using your tongue to get you through life. Some people it's eating, some people it's sleeping, some people are addicted to anxiety. Not that we seek it, but it just comes and we can't get rid of it. Some of us are addicted to plague you and you just can't release yourself. The gospel gives you a way out. This is so neat. The gospel is about the restoration of a relationship with your God. If the first step in this downward spiral is to fail to honor him, then certainly to honor him should be the first step. Restoring the relationship, honoring him as God. I would really encourage you to think about the things we talked about. Think about the sun. Think about how far away it is. Think about how there's 60 billion galaxies and we can't even get to the end of ours. Think about the fact that there's no known wall out there. God has created infinity in front of us. And he says, if your heart is right, if your heart is like a child, you'll be right. It looks pretty obvious. Give thanks for the way he manages your life, your heart, your lungs, your food, your sleep, whatever. However you think about it. But then, live the gospel. When you were saved, you were convinced of your sin, and you became confident that God would forgive you. That's the glory of the gospel. That's the power, Romans 1:16. That's why it has power. It looks so good, and it is. Overcoming any addiction happens one day at a time. And the day has a name. It's called today. Today is the only day you can do anything. You can't do it tomorrow. You can't do anything about yesterday. And that's good news because all you have to manage then is today. And what I am saying is that if you read your Bible looking for God to say something relevant to you, chances are he'll show you something. If you're seeking him in this way, chances are he will reveal himself because he wants to. And then if you respond to him in obedience, that'll be what you're thinking about. And it guarantees you can't think both of them at the same time. I know. That just sounds, come on. And I'm not trying to trivialize anybody's pain either. I know we have things that plague us, and I'm not saying that we maybe don't need to get some help. But listen, the righteous will live by faith. I know that. I know this. The righteous will live by responding to God. And if you take God out of the equation, good luck. So, if step one of the gospel is recognizing your sin and admitting it, and step two is responding to his power, and step three is how we go. God, I just thank you so much for the gospel. It is your power because it's so good and you're so good. We are arrogant. God, we just admit it. We think about ourselves and what we can do all the time. And I ask you, Father, please imprint on our hearts as we meditate on Paul's testimony. Think about this. I've just said a few words.